Well, hello and welcome once again.
And again.
Again.
And again.
To Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires is the man who guards our democracy.
Ooh, yeah.
Joe Crazy Writer. For the second time, how you doing today, Joe?
I had pie twice yesterday.
Oh, you bastard.
It was. It was a nice apple, baked apple cinnamon pie with some really, really rich vanilla ice cream. And then Holly gave me half of her bring it home out of the freezer French silk pie.
See, I'm all out of pie right now.
No wonder you're so cranky.
I'm not cranky.
You're always cranky.
Bastard.
Okay, well, maybe it's the lack of sleep from all them goofy overnights you've been doing.
Oh, see, that's a bad thing. They said that they'd hired new overnight people. Now, one of them's still there. The other one, she lasted about a month. So they went on this long thing with me. Yeah, we really thank you for all the extra shifts and all the help you've been giving, but you know, we're going to have to cut back, and there won't be any overtime, and the shifts are all full. And that lasted about a week.
Mm.
So I've had one night off in the past 12. I went to a movie last night.
Ooh, what'd you see? What'd you see?
I saw Wreck-It Ralph.
And?
I like the idea of it a lot more than the actual movie. I thought it was going to be filled with all these video game cameos and all this cool video game stuff. And it, well, it's a, wait till it's on Netflix.
Mm.
You'll like it there.
Yep.
And I'm glad I went to the $3 theater instead of the $12 theater to see it. And if I would have paid money to see it in 3D IMAX, where it runs about $20 a ticket, I would have drove to the creator's house and just started smacking him. Now, we had all kinds of stuff that we had talked about before we found out that my computer and Pamela were not getting along.
Yeah. A definite technician, you're not.
Hey, we're at like 95 episodes, and most of them have been glitch-free.
True. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't listen.
I don't listen.
So what'd you think of the solo podcast?
Well, you know, if you can smell what The Rock is cooking, and you were cooking up a delightful, intelligent, informative, inquisitive, informative romp that it was so jam-packed with stuff, it was hard to take in one sitting, but
what was your favorite part?
Well,
what
I kind of
do you think I to do more of?
It was hard to just pick any one thing, because if you look at the whole thing, it was so inquisitive and informative, and
you didn't listen to it.
And it was just a delight. There was such a plethora, cornucopia of information.
You didn't listen at all, did you?
No, I didn't.
This is going to be like Spider-Man, where you keep saying you heard it, you keep saying you'll do it.
I don't listen to our podcast. Why the heck would I listen to you drone on for hours?
20 years from now, when I'm sitting in the nursing home.
And somebody's going to, if you're lucky, somebody's going to take care of you, say, you know, I listened to your podcast when you were. Now you can listen to
there,
mine.
No teeth, banjo. And I'll get a brain message from you that says, "Hey, finally heard the first solo podcast.
Why didn't you do more of those?
Work on the sound."
I'll just say, why didn't you do more of those? It was.
Well, yeah, I am going to do more of them.
Oh, good.
The next one is going to be the first in a I don't know how many part series on Jack Kirby, his life and his work. And I've already lined up a guest for one of the first guests for the history of EC Comics I'm going to be doing.
Cool.
So, moving along quite well. Matter of fact, we've got sponsors, and we've got a way for you to contact us if you're a listener. So, just listen to this pre-recorded bit so that we don't have to repeat ourselves every week.
Believe it or not, kids, this here show has sponsors. That's right. And sponsor number one, our favorite sponsor, is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. I have been using it now for 12 years. Oh, that makes me feel old. 12 years. And if you go to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAYZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you'll save $20 off your first year. Now, if you've got your own web page, you can do stuff like host a blog, put up a podcast. Wait, we don't want you putting up podcasts. We have enough competition. You can host a blog. You can do a webcomic. You get more storage space than you know what to do with. You get more traffic than you'll know what to do with. It's a host used by big companies, small companies, individual people like me, and they have excellent customer service. DreamHost.com. Crazy Comics and Stories is a fan-supported comic book podcast. We give it to you every week for free. Well, we try to do it every week. Okay, Joe and I try to talk once a week, and we try to record it. But we do what we can. But it's fan-supported. That means it's supported by you. So what you could do to help support us, you could go to iTunes and give us a good review. That pushes us up in the their weird little Apple rating thing. You can send us an email. Ask us questions. Our email is corey.strode@gmail.com. You can ask questions. You can request us talking about stuff. You can ask about comic retail. You can ask about comic book history. You can ask about Joe. I don't know why anybody would want to, but you can ask about Joe. You can tweet about us. You can go to our Facebook page, Crazy Comics and Stuff, because Joe didn't realize the name of the show was Comics and Stories. You can do all sorts of things. You can send us pie. You can send the pie to Crazy Comics and Stories at 77 Ellers Avenue, Chaska, Minnesota, 55318. If you are looking to buy an ad, simply send an email to corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. And now back to the show. So Joe, where were you last week? You weren't around. I turned on the Skype. I sat and I waited and I waited and I waited and no crazy.
Did not. You were probably sleeping.
Well, that too.
No. I
can't get caught up on TV.
I was tasked of one of the 675 TSA personnel to go out to DC to help with the presidential inauguration.
Oh, when you said you were going to D.C., I thought you were going to go and tell them that the new 52 just kind of sucks.
Well, you know, there are some things that you just don't need a law to know. But what was interesting about this particular one, it was a Secret Service run event. And we manned checkpoints, various locations on the parade ground and in the inauguration area. And what was, for me, a delight was there were two things you have to remember when you're working with Secret Service. First of all, no lip and do it or go. Unlike at the airport, if you feel like giving the TSA agent some shit and you want to do it, you probably can. As long as you got the time, just remember, they're getting paid, you're not.
And they have a lot of rubber gloves.
Well, they do. Nylon, for those of you allergic. And in this case, they were, you know what? We know when you're at the airport, you have to, there's a customer service element. We don't have that here. We are protecting the president. It's do it or don't go. And it was the interesting thing was, is that the people that came to this event were actually in a pretty good frame of mind. You know, there, a lot of them were here for positive reasons. They were here to have a good time and witness history.
It was a beautiful day. I watched it on the television.
It depends on where you were from. To me, it was beautiful. It was like 30 degrees. Well, we started the day. I mean, I got up at midnight. We had our breakfast at 1 a.m. We loaded on the bus at 2 a.m. The buses took off at 3 a.m., which was neat because we had a police escort. And at 4 a.m., we got to where we're going.
Did they run the sirens?
5 a.m., we got to the checkpoint. 6 a.m., we were open up for people so they could get to their seats by 11 a.m. And it was pretty much nonstop. And then about 11:10, it just quit. It was like all of a sudden it was over. You know, I mean, you would basically be screening. I had maybe 50 people in line, and you look over and you see the line of going up the hill, just a mass of humanity. And it was basically if you were either in your seat at 11 or you kind of wasted the ticket you got. So it was pretty cool. Picked up some inauguration swag. I got my
credentials. Swag. You know, it means something different when the kids say it now.
Yeah, that's true. We're getting old. And like you said, it was a beautiful day out. Although I got to admit, my fellow agents from, I guess we're called officers, but from Florida, Texas, California, they all thought it was freezing out. Now, I know last time it was like 20 above with a wind chill of 20 below. But this time it was 30, and I thought it was great. But these people from these warm states were crying. I was like, nah, I got to take my coat off. Beautiful out. Beautiful. I was swimming in the moat.
As I always tell people, I'm from Minnesota. I don't even button my coat till it gets below zero.
Now, I know that you don't really care what I was doing. You just care, did I actually get to any of the comic stores there?
Damn straight. And what did you buy me?
Well, to take them in reverse order, I did buy you pie, but I did eat it.
Damn it.
Apparently you can't bring liquid-filled pie onto a plane. Who'd have thought?
Sons of
making
bitches.
Explosive pies. Those bastards, what are they up to? But
damn them all.
Now, before we started this podcast, which has been going on how long?
Currently, we've been talking for about 10 minutes.
Ah.
But we're in our 40th minute.
Uh-huh. Well, when we were...
Because my computer doesn't like me.
No. No, it's because you're a redhead.
No, it's because I'm never home.
Yeah.
I'm not a redhead. I haven't been a redhead since college.
Uh-huh. See, but
okay, a few years after college.
You were. That's what I'm getting at. But 4 years ago when I started this on-the-road trip thing... I was actually in DC for about 7 months. And while I was there, I was able to visit almost every single comic store within the area. And I lucked out because I knew that where we were based in, I believe it was, Lansdowne, Virginia, there was actually a comic store within a half a mile. And, it was Laughing Ogre Comics. And I had been there before. Nice comic store. They greet you when you come in.
And the ogre laughs.
He is. They actually have three stores, one in Ohio and two in Virginia. It's a fairly modern store with newer appliances and things like that. Nice shelf work. Real big.
A microwave from this century.
Wherever they've sold out, they always make sure, you know, you could have subscribed to it. Now, I had already hit the comic store before I went out because I brought all my stuff with me. And consequently, going through the store, I didn't see a lot of things I would have bought because I, you know, in terms of just what I'm currently reading. I did buy one of the Amazing Spider-Man 666 issue variants. They had one where Spider-Man's holding the Daily Bugle and it says, Spider-Man saves Laughing Ogre Comics, and they put their logo there. So I got another one of those, and I did luck out and find all five parts of the Dark Shadows Vampirella crossover from Dynamite.
Ooh.
So
I can't Buffy crossover with both of them.
It could happen. It should happen. Judging by the different crossovers I've seen, I mean, geez, Danger Girl, G.I. Joe, they're still doing the Mars Attacks. Transformers was out this week. So those were fun. So I picked those up. There was one thing I didn't pick up that I wish I would have. They have the toy sets, the little 6-inch toys in there. And each toy double pack is the comic. And they had one for Hulk 181. The toys were Wolverine and Hulk from that time period. And then a reprint.
Now you should explain, not everybody who listens is knows everything about comics. What is Hulk 181, Joe?
That is the legendary first full appearance of Wolverine. I say
you should have heard of.
Yeah, if you didn't hear of Wolverine, then why are you listening to this But
because they think I'm cute.
No, that's just that girl in Germany you keep babbling on and on about.
I'm sure there are people who think you're cute.
I don't
know who, and I don't know why, but I'm sure there are people.
Put my picture out for people to comment on. But anyways, this particular one, Wolverine's first appearance was a panel in the back of Hulk 180. But the true appearance is Hulk 181, and it is a multi-$1,000 book if you can find it in mint shape. I've had several of them over the years. I don't have one currently. I thought this might be a neat one to pick up because it was only $26. And even had I bought this in like a Toys R Us where, you know, they get the buku discounts, it still would have been an $18 item. And I didn't pick it up. I might call them. I don't know. I have a problem with, you know, if I see it right away, I'll buy it and then I'll get home and wonder why I bought it. So I just, what saved me this time was the fact that I did not have a lot of room because I was only gone for 4 days. So I packed tight and, like I said, I picked up the stuff I had. I had a bunch of books that I read while I was there. So it was kind of cool. And I lucked out. I went there when I walked down there, like I said, it was a half mile. I went the day before the inauguration. It was like 60 degrees out. I couldn't believe it. It was beautiful. And then the next day, the high was 30.
Now, one thing I saw on the television, but they only had it in one shot because I guess they didn't want us at home to see it. They had a huge TV screen there.
The one that did or didn't work?
I don't know. They just showed, and it was a very brief second. How big was that thing?
Don't know.
That they were broadcasting?
Couldn't tell you because I saw absolutely nothing of the inauguration.
Really?
Where our checkpoint was, it was behind one of the buildings. And by the time we were done, everybody's like, well, does anybody want to go see the inauguration? And it was like maybe 1 p.m. And I think the president had stopped speaking already. And we're kind of like, no, we walked back to the bus. We were tired. We came, we saw, we left. So I didn't actually see any of it. There were some of my colleagues.
So I can't ask you if Beyonce really did lip sync.
Who cares? It's Beyonce. Oof. She can lip sync on me. PG. Keep it PG.
Although she's on the cover of the new GQ.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't hold a candle. Not a candle to Christina Hendricks.
Well, nobody does.
Well, there is that.
And
we'll be talking about it in Geekin' and Freakin', but they announced when Mad Men's coming back.
Oh, so yeah, I saw that.
There's a happy Corey on this podcast.
So, no, some of my colleagues, they actually were on the parade route. It was funny because when I caught up with them later that day, they were all sunburned. And I told them, why don't you just tell everybody back in Minnesota when we get there that you guys accidentally went to Hawaii or Florida? Florida, they believe Florida. So,
or you know, if they want to, they want to piss off the people who think that the president got into office illegally. It's weird, you know. You get close to Obama and he smiles so brightly that you get a sunburn.
Actually, some of my colleagues on a checkpoint when the motorcade came through, Obama actually saw them and waved to them. So they got some nice pictures of that. And then you couldn't miss it because you had like about a dozen, 20 people all lined up with TSA uniforms. So he knew we were there.
Well, that's good.
What was interesting about this particular inauguration, the Secret Service only asked TSA to come do the checkpoints. Last inauguration, I think they had 300 officers, and Lord knows who they called beforehand. I mean, they do have a lot of other organizations in there. I mean, obviously, the U.S. government's on. I saw, like, Alabama troopers there. I know some people, I think, from Minnesota went. But to do the checkpoint duties, which is probably the most boring duty, they just called TSA in because they know we do this all the time, and with just a little tweaking to screen the way Secret Security wants us to, or Secret Service wants us to screen, we just do it. So it probably makes their job a lot easier because they can just call the headquarters and say, hey, we need this many people. Okay, no problem. So, and not only did NDF go, which is the organization I do that travels me around, But a bunch of people who volunteer from various airports, like 25 people from my airport went, I think 35 went from San Antonio. Different airports around the country pulled in. And you're talking, this is the equivalent staffing of a major airport, a CADEX airport. Brought them in, worked them for 2 days, trained them, worked them, sent them home, all in the course of 4 days.
Huh.
And I actually stayed around one extra day to help at Reagan International, which, if you've ever been through, it's a very small CADEX airport, not built for the teeming millions and millions of people that wanted to leave that particular day. That's one of the reasons why, if you've ever been there, you go through Dulles, which is closer to where we were staying out a ways. Anyways, there, it was a good time. You know, I mean, we worked hard. We left. I don't want to even get to rest because I got to leave again in, let's see, 5 days. I got to leave again.
Oh, where are you going?
Well, unfortunately, because what I'm doing is teamed a national security event, I can't talk about the details, but I can just say one thing. Football.
Football.
Google it. You'll figure it out. In the meantime.
Oh, I know what it is.
No, I don't get to stay.
You're going
to
be security for Superior Spider-Man number 2. Because all the fanboys were mad that the storyline.
Really? I enjoyed the whole Superior Spider-Man thing. I mean, I've read so far the Daredevil crossover. There was the
and I like the Daredevil crossover where he was going, there's something not right.
And there was the Avenging. Did you read Avenging Spider-Man?
Yes.
With the X-Men?
And the X-Men, too, where something ain't right here.
Yeah. And I also like Doc Octopus's thinking when he's dealing with against the villains. And I don't know if we want to throw up a spoiler warning because I'm just going to blab it out.
Sure. Well, if you don't know that Dr. Octopus has taken over Spider-Man by now, because they even had it on the television.
Well, it's not that.
Then
it's
you don't care.
What happens at the end of Avenging Spider-Man, because you have these weird clone-type big-ass spiders running around New York, and that's the gist that gets them going. And Dr. Octopus figures out who's responsible fairly quickly.
Well,
and what I like,
all you have to do is say clones, and we know.
But the X-Men are thinking, oh, it's Mr. Sinister. And they weren't 100% wrong, but the Octopus is like, oh, man, if this is who I think it is, it's somebody I would rather not deal with right now. So I find what's fascinating about this is just Octopus's thought processes as he's going through it. Plus,
yes,
the fact that he basically unleashed Spider-Man and put a beatdown on Wolverine.
Yeah.
Which lends credulence to the thing that Straczynski said during his run on Spider-Man when they were talking about, you know, could you take, I think Mary Jane was asking, would you be able to take out the Hulk? And he goes, well, we don't talk about it amongst ourselves, but yeah, I could. So, and even they referred to it even way back in the early days of Spider-Man when Richards realized Spider-Man was just a kid. So what happens when he gets to be an adult? I mean, as strong as he was then. So, but I liked it. As far as Superior Spider-Man 1, when you got to the end of it, it made me go, So it'll be interesting to see what happens here.
And remember how I said, oh, it'll last a while, but yeah, in the new previews, they're already talking about they're building toward the ending.
Oh, well.
And it's funny how people are saying, oh, I can't believe it only lasted a few months. They're already up to issue 8 in previews.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 issues. That's 12 issues. When a comic comes out every other week, stories move faster. I'm enjoying it. And I know, it's just going to be, I've always said, it's just going to be a temporary story.
I wonder if they'll go back.
There are times where fanboys just make me cry.
Will they start again with Amazing Spider-Man 1 or just go back to 701?
Or they might do both.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like they did with Fantastic Four when it's okay, now it's FF because mm-hmm. it's a future foundation. And then they brought back the Fantastic Four with issue 600, but FF continued. I think it's a good way to kind of start a new series. But we'll see. We'll see. So you were talking about this figure that you wanted, but you didn't want to carry it home yeah. and deal with all that. Maybe you could give him a call or email him and say, hey, could you send it to me?
It's possible. Hang on a second here while I determine whether or not I'm going to call these guys.
And now you have computer glitches. I heard some
eBay.com.
Ah.
Because nothing drives me crazier. I'll give you an idea. I didn't see them for sale because I probably would have bought one, but they had inauguration Coke bottles, 8 ounce size Coke bottles.
Ooh.
And yeah, I thought it was kind of new. I got one from the Statue of Liberty. I got one from New York. I figured, well, you know, they usually sell them from like anywhere $4 to $8. They're going like $40 to $50 on eBay.
Wow.
They might be calming down now. I think I saw one for 26, you know, and it's killing me because I was like, I like that type of swag, you know. All right, hang on a second. Wolverine. Hulk. Man, let's see. On our friendly neighborhood eBay, toys and action figures. Oh, see, here's a guy selling one for $10.
There you go.
Here's one for $30, which wasn't too far off. That's probably more of the retail price. Here's one for $17. So there's plenty of them around. No worries. $20 seems to be the average price. So, but see, what it killed me had I bought it hadn't have bought it. And then I get back and I was like, oh my God, just $50. I could have had it for $30. But you know, I would have called them and said, hey, you know, could you do credit card? Blah, blah, blah. Most places I think would do that. I am saving up though because I do want to get back to the Jim Hanley's universe and see if I can get a copy of that Monster Society of Evil hardcover.
Ooh.
Because that, like you said,
it's purdy.
They're not going to reprint that, unfortunately. I was waiting for the reprint and bastards never did it. That'll be my
DC first. Actually had planned to do a version of it, right?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be my freaking for the week. Bastards.
Now, you used to do stuff like that. Didn't you have a couple subscribers who were male only?
Most of the subscribers at my shop were male. I did have a couple female. Erin, of course, was probably the cutest. I don't know if she listens to this anymore. She had a standing deal for as many jumping jacks as she could do. I'd give her a percentage off her comics. She didn't so much as give me a squat thrust. She was saving herself for marriage. And I'll give a prize to whoever got...
has a kid and lives in, like, Finland or something.
Norway, I think. I'll give a prize to whoever figures out where I got that joke from.
Which means that nobody will get a prize. Nobody ever enters our contest.
You know what? And really, we should mention, too, stop by and say hi to us when at the MCBA Spring Con, because Corey and I will be both running the charity... What do we call it? Rummage booth?
The rummage sale.
It's a rummage sale. People. And if you got stuff you want to donate, 100% of the proceeds go to tax charities that are...
Go to charities that are tax-free. 100% of proceeds go to taxes.
It's all...
Joe, what has the IRS caught you doing?
Laughing at ogres. I'm not sure anymore. And they were laughing at ogres before Shrek, I'll tell you that. No, 100% of the proceeds go to charities, so it's 100% tax write-off, according to whatever tax you have. I know most of us, we can deduct the fair market value of it. Corporations can deduct time and a half or something. I don't know. But we'll be there. The MCBA Spring Con Comic Book Carnival will be May 18th and 19th.
It's a carnival now?
It is. It keeps getting better and bigger every year. May 18th and 19th. 10 to 5 p.m. both days, and it's at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds in the grandstand. And I have it on good note that it's – I don't know if this may be one of the last years it's at the grandstand because it's getting too big for the grandstand. That's how cool this event is.
And I don't want us to get the explicit tag on iTunes, so I won't do any jokes about it getting too big.
Yes. And, of course
– But you have no excuse not to be there.
And if you're around March 22nd, 24th, go down to Rochester, Minnesota for Fable Town and Beyond. It's an epic convention celebrating mythic comic books. There'll be all sorts of artists, writers, dealers, panels, speeches, receptions. I'm going to throw a couple websites at you. The first one is www.midwestcomicbook.com for the spring con. Fables Con's a little easier. www.fablescon.com. And if I think about it, I'll link both of them on our rarely looked at but often used Facebook page.
Where you should be our friend. You should like us. Yes. We want to be liked.
We do want to be liked.
We're lonely.
Some more than others.
Hey, I'm lonely. I'm doing a lot of overnights.
Yes. Hey, do you have any tales of the home?
You brought this up. This is your... I love how you sprung it on me without letting me know. The group home I work at now isn't the only group home I've ever worked at. I worked at most of my adult life, if we want to call it that. I worked at treatment group homes for teenage boys. Teenage boys who got in trouble with the law or were in social services, something like that.
They fought the law and they lost.
That's right. So I thought I would talk about my interview at the first group home I ever worked at. Not only does the company no longer exist, the building itself no longer exists. It's now a parking lot for the funeral home next door.
But he's told when Corey leaves a job, he really leaves it. It's true. Neither of my comic stores exist. There's no trace of them anywhere you go. If you were to drive by, you'd never know we were there.
The Christie's comic sign was up at the scene of the old shop for like 4 or 5 years after
they were gone.
So I had just moved here. I got a job at a video store. And a week and a half before Christmas, both on the same day, the owner of the company came in and said that she was letting me go because her son had flunked out of college and needed a job. So he was getting mine. And I'd be able to get unemployment, but... And then, you know, the future ex-wife had called and said, oh, meet me over at the restaurant, you know, after work. So, you know, I've been told that I've been let go. Week and a half before Christmas, walk over to the restaurant, sit down. I go, I have news. She's got, I have news, too. I'm going to tell you mine first. I'm pregnant. What's your news? Oh. I just got laid off. So I'm looking for a job. And this was back when you had to send resumes in the mail.
Wow, what a weird concept.
I know. Send a resume, get a call, you know, to come in for an interview. And I didn't know much about the group home industry. I just had a degree in psychology. Drive up, and it looks like a house. Just a house in the middle of a neighborhood. And I knock on the door, and I go in, and they bring me into this office. And the office... There was a huge sheet of plastic hanging down from the ceiling. This was February when this happened. Huge sheet of plastic hanging down from the ceiling. Water pouring down the plastic into buckets on the floor.
Wow, they could afford buckets?
The carpet was wet, so when I walk into the office, it's squish, 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 squish. So I sit down. We start the interview. They ask a few questions, you know, what's your degree in, what did you study, what did you do, how, and they did a few, how would you react to questions? How would you react to this? How would you, the only one I remember, because I was told later this is why I got the job, how would you react if a kid punched you? And I said, well, depending on how much it hurt, I would ask other staff for help and call 911. Which I found out later, most staff, when they're asked that question, well, you know, I'd restrain him, or I'd grab him, or I'd do this, or, and I was more, no, if it didn't hurt too much, you call 911, you get the cops out there, because that's assault. So we get to the end of the interview, and the person interviewing me actually says, okay, we're going to give you the job,
But.
And we need you to commit to at least 6 months because we're having staff leave after they've worked two or three shifts. And all I could think is, oh, thank God, I got a job. Now, the problem was I thought I was interviewing for full time. It was part time. But I needed to commit to at least 6 months. You know how long I stayed at that job, Joe?
7 years.
Eight.
Whoa, I was close.
8 years, and I worked the very last shift. So I will be telling stories from that group home. There was that day. I remember that day. I did the last shift. There were two kids who were still living at that group home. I actually put them in my car, drove them out to their new group home. Later that day, I worked my first shift at that group home I drove them to, which was, and I, you know, I'd already interviewed. I already had the job. I already had all that. So when I dropped them off, I was like, well, good luck, guys. I hope you do well. And one of them was like, I'm glad I don't have to see you ever again. I am so sick of your crap. And blah, 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 blah. So that evening, you know, I'm doing the evening shift. And I come in before the guys get back. And the guy who ran the program, his name's Scott Nutter. We just call him Nutter. Brought me in, hid me behind the door. Brings in the two new guys, sits them down, starts going through stuff. And he says, oh, and by the way, so you guys feel at home, I got a new staff. I stepped out from behind the door and went, hi, guys.
So that's one of the perks of the job.
The one who cursed me out went, oh, damn it.
That's great.
So back to my question that you flecked away.
Oh, I did a good job of that, didn't I?
You had some customers who would buy comics through the mail from you.
Yes.
Well, first off, how did that get set up? How did they arrange that? Did they just call you out of the blue and say, yeah, there's no comic shops here. Can I buy them from you? Or what happened?
Most of the guys I think we inherited from the previous owners, and they were up on the Iron Range. They really didn't have a comic store near them, so they would usually monthly give them a call with the totals and stuff. I know one of the
crazy.
Yeah. One of the guys I know when we opened up Crazy, I gave him a call and he declined to set up with us because he told us that he was sometimes he would be missing books and we wouldn't get it to him. And I was kind of disappointed because I was like, really? Did you ever call me? He said, well, I'd call and leave messages. And I'm like, oh, I never got them. Cause I mean, literally I would give people books out of my own collection as opposed to keeping it if I knew somebody was short something. But for the most part, you know, we just kind of double checked everything before we mailed it just to make sure everybody got what they were wanted. We did more, I think, mail order in terms of if people would call out of the blue looking for books, not so much subscriptions. And usually it was, you know, we're looking for a toy, we're looking for this, we're looking for that, you know. Sometimes we would combine it, especially if, you know, they called one of the hot comics, and so they were getting the whole thing together for everybody. So it was not a significant portion of our sales, but it was something we always looked at, you know.
Now, you did have some people who were in the military, so when they went overseas, you saved their books.
Oh, yeah.
One of which, his name, which Joe reminded me of in the part that no one will ever get to hear but us. Chris Farley bought comic books from you.
Yep. And don't forget Brian Wilson. He did too.
Yep. But Chris was he was full Army at one point and then National Guard.
Yeah. And we see him at the con. A couple of times I know he's set up for the reserves there. I don't know if he does that anymore. I don't know if they got a decent enough reaction to make it worthwhile.
Well, I know I didn't join the military just because he was there, even though.
You were tempted, though.
Well.
Of course, he came over with a redhead sergeant, and she had a pie with her. So I thought for sure Corey'd be gone.
One of the things about Chris I remember is you would have, there were, you know, customers who would come in and they just came in and they bought their stuff. Or they would come in and they grumble about, oh, yeah. Chris always came in and he was always excited and happy about the comics.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like Butch. You had a few people who every comic was their favorite comic.
Mm-hmm. And that was interesting because I know when I did, I tried not to badmouth comics because of that. Like you said, every comic was somebody's favorite. And I figured it was my job to sell the comic. You know, why badmouth it? And
right.
When I sold the shop, I started, you know, I was doing an email newsletter. And I think I continued to do it when Christy took over the shop. And I noticed when I wasn't selling the comics, I would be more snarky about them. You know, because, I mean, what did I care if somebody thought that, you know, comic ABC was the best thing? I didn't care. I thought it sucked. But I'd also, when I ran Crazy Comics and I kept the list going, all of a sudden I found myself back into the, well, I'm not going to badmouth comics anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like you said, the last thing you want to hear from somebody is, oh, this comic really sucks. And you got a whole pile of them, you know?
Well, I talked in the past. There was a comic shop that I used to go to. And every week the guy behind the counter would go, I can't believe you're buying this shit. And make fun of the stuff that I was buying and enjoying till I just said, you know, there weren't any comic shops within driving distance. And I said, oh, look, here's one I can get stuff through the mail. Oh, look, and there's a discount. Better than the discount I'm currently getting. So I know that I know a lot of fans listen, but I hope some retailers listen and just take that to heart that, you know, you may be having fun mocking the guy who's buying My Little Pony, but DCBS, they're going to give a big discount on My Little Pony, and they might throw in a poster or an autographed copy, and they're not going to judge him and make fun of him when he places that order.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, let's see. What have we done, Joe? We've done hanging at the home.
Hanging.
We've updated where you've been.
Yep. Oh. I should.
We've kind of done a Tales
from the
Shop. I
should give you the 2013 Great Organization Project has begun.
Oh. Yeah,
this is my attempt to get my collection back in order after
well, good luck with that.
10 years of neglect. I have had my comics in order twice before, and one was before 20 years ago or so, before I took over Hot Comics St. Paul. I had it back in order after I sold Hot Comics St. Paul. So here we are, maybe 10, 12 years now. I'm going to try getting it in order again. And so far, out of my 80-plus boxes, I've got two short boxes in order. Now, last time we talked about...
Two boxes out of how many?
Well, that's maybe one long box. But I did get some good runs done. I mean, I did get my...
Out of how many?
I rebagged. We don't work on absolutes here, Corey. I know you like that crap, but... No, I did get
Is
my...
Is it one out of 10 or one out of 950 or what?
I did get my Adventure Comics with Supergirl rebagged because the box was kind of... The bags were kind of sticky and yellow. I figured they were new ones.
I don't know what you're doing with your comics.
Most of the stuff I went through were just things that I had bought from my adventures as I was cruising around the country going to different comic stores. Now, I already talked about, you know, I'm using the 2010 comic book checklist and price guide to get everything organized because now since Krauss doesn't publish any comic books or CBG or anything, they haven't had anything up to date. The problem is this book stops in 2010, and there's a number of comics afterwards that I want to try to keep in order. Case in point, Irredeemable. I picked up the issues that Pete Krause had done because I'm a Pete Krause guy. And there were always variants. There were like two regular covers, a retailer cover, second print cover. There was a letter cover, blah, blah, blah. And I would just pick them all up because I'm a bit of a completist when it comes to Pete. But when he quit, I quit. And then, of course, Mark Waid wrapped up the series a few issues later. So I'm trying to figure out how am I going to track down which issues I have versus, you know, looking around. Because with the con coming up, I'll probably find some of this crap in the quarter bins. So I turned to a program that I used a long time ago called Comic Base. And if you Google it, you can find it. They have a free version you can download. Utterly worthless for what I need. For example, when I went to go put in my issues of Irredeemable, they only cover up to issue 13. It went up to, I think, issue 35, maybe 37. I don't know for sure. Now, I can go buy the more expensive versions and get a complete coverage. Matter of fact, I think at the $2,000 level, you can get weekly downloads where they say, here are all the books that came out this week. We'll integrate them into your guide, and you can put in what you need. A Comic Base is cool because it integrates with Atomic Avenue, which is an excellent place to go to buy comic books if you're tired of the eBay shtick, because they list everything
down to Atomic Avenue.
A lot of times they have the covers there, which is nice, especially when you're trying to figure out which variant cover you have. And it integrates with Comic Base, which was kind of cool because you could set your default in Comic Base to one, which means if you have two of something, the two will automatically upload to Atomic Avenue. And it's a good program if you're looking to sell off stuff or just track things. But like I said, the freebie was just not worth the download time. And of course, then I find out as I'm going to the website, well, guys, our holiday sale was fantastic. Ah, crap, I didn't buy it during the holidays. Well, I'm not paying full price now, so not so much of an incentive to buy it anymore. So anyways, between those two things, I was able to get at least two short boxes organized. I do have a box of freebie comics, you know, all the comic books you can get free from various places, including free comic book day. I got a short box of stuff I'm going to sell, short box of stuff I'm going to read, and then a short box of stuff I couldn't find on Comic Base or on Comic Book Price Guide. Now, it used to be cool about both these programs and still with Comic Base is if you find a book they don't have, you can send them a scan and maybe code like what it says inside, and they will say thank you. But so because they are real into trying to get all the books somewhere, you know, so they have so they're the place to go to check to see if you need a book or if you're missing it. So I got one down, 80 to go. My goal is to try to get it done by the end of the year. And then I can start on the great graphic novel reorganization.
I'm still dancing along to the song Atomic Electric Avenue.
Yeah, can't sing too much of it. Then we got to pay rights to it. Ulu.
Down in the streets there is violence.
And the only other thing
I should look for that song the minute I'm done with the podcast, because now it's stuck in my head. And the song that was stuck in my head earlier, if you follow me on the fire-breathing Twitter machine, I've been doing some job hunting with headphones on. And I've learned that the best thing to listen to while job hunting are soundtracks to Quentin Tarantino movies.
Now, the question I have is, what the movie that's out now, how do you say it?
Django Unchained.
Did you hear about what happened to the toys they had? Or the adult?
Yes, they pulled them.
And eBay banned them. You can't even go to eBay to buy them. All I think about is Quentin Tarantino was talking about when he was researching this movie, how he couldn't put in the stuff that really happened. There was no way they were going to allow it. I'm telling you, this country's got their head so far up their ass in terms of its history and just how race is involved with it. You know, to ban an adult collectible because of it. Yep. That's serious.
Well, we don't want to get off on politics.
Let's put that down as a freaking. That'll be my freaking for the day.
Because it's time for Freaking and Geeking. Freaking and Geeking doesn't have a sponsor either. How about we get us some sponsors, people? Do you know a comic shop? Do you know an online thing? Do you know somebody who needs their ego pumped up?
Do you personally know the Green M&M? Because I'd like to meet her.
If I knew the Green M&M, I'd be putting a red wig on her.
Ba-dum-psh.
Hey, they're the crickets.
Yeah, good. It's nice to know they're around.
I'm glad they didn't defect back to WrestleCrap Radio. Although WrestleCrap Radio is now called the RDM Blade Show. And they've been saying, oh, you can get it on iTunes. And I've been looking on iTunes forever. Finally, I just emailed the both of them and says, you know what? You keep saying it's on the iTunes. It's not on the iTunes. You damn well better get it on the iTunes because I'm doing a lot of overnights and I need your show.
Hey, did you know?
Maybe that's my freaking.
Even as we speak right now, Spider-Man and the Lizard are fighting in downtown St. Paul.
Is it the Spider-Man monster truck?
No, it's actually a very intricate ice sculpture that somebody made.
Oh.
I put up a couple pictures of it. And it was weird because the flash illuminates the clear glass on Spider-Man, and you can see all the webs on him. It's really
cool. Oh, that's cool.
So they're fighting now. Of course, if it gets any warmer, it's not getting any warmer.
Well, Joe, what else you freaking on?
I think that's pretty much it. I have my two freaks. I bitched them out earlier. Go ahead, Corey. What are you freaking on?
Well, first off, the TiVo's almost full because I'm never home.
He's never home, folks.
And when I am home, I'm sleeping. And when I'm not sleeping, the roommate's sleeping in front of the TV. And when I turn it on, she goes, ah, quit it, quit it. I have to go to my room.
Yeah, she can't sleep in her room because it's so damn dirty.
Not dirty, just full.
Well, now you're using positive. It's just a mess. I'm telling you, folks, next time I'm over at Corey's, I'll take a picture for you all.
You think I'm letting you into the compound? You're crazy. Wait, that's your name.
Yeah.
See, freaking, I am now to the point where I'm not reading any DC books. I may read them in collections, but I've lost all interest in the new 52. And I think, you know, part of it is the art style. Part of it is how the stories just do not mesh up together. Even in a single series, Tim Drake was Robin. No, wait, he wasn't. Oh, maybe he was. Oh, one of the Robins was a spy for the Joker. Well, maybe. It's starting to look. Remember how. Here we're going to talk about how old we are again. Remember how after the first Crisis, everybody talked about how the DC Universe was a little unorganized and not everybody became post-Crisis at the same time?
Yeah, which is really. I didn't mention it to you because we were buds then, but I remember talking with Gruber and I said, why don't they just, this is the time to just start everything over at number one. You know, maybe not action and detective just because I had some sense of history, keep those numbers going. But no, DC didn't have enough cojones to do it.
Well, I guess what it was, it's a number of the editors refused.
It's like, who the hell's, you're the publisher,
the
you're working for me.
And it's the who didn't really do a big change after Crisis. Because if you were reading DC at the time, some of the books like Superman and Wonder Woman and others, they took it as, okay, everything starts new. There were others who, yeah, Crisis, yeah, we're ignoring it, we're just going to move forward. And with some characters, it really messed them up. Hawkman. Oh my God, Hawkman.
Hawk.
And I thought, you know, going into the new 52, that with all the problems I foresaw, one of the good things was is they said they had been planning it for a long time, so when they hit the reset button, it would be okay. We have a plan going forward. We won't have the continuity errors. We won't have this. No, it's a mess. And there are a few books here and there. Green Lantern. I have lost all interest during this Rise of the Third Army because, oh, look, in the middle of it, there's a new Green Lantern. What happened to Hal Jordan? Well, we left him on a cliffhanger 2-3 issues ago. Maybe we'll get back to it. I don't know anymore. Or yeah, just so many books changing writers in mid-story, much like Marvel did in the 70s, where you cannot have a cohesive story if one person writes the first two parts and somebody else who had no part of it for any reason writes the next three. I've just tapped out. You know, I don't have enough time to read everything. Maybe I will pick up trade paperbacks of the stuff I hear is good. But I've tapped out on DC, and I never thought I would say that. Let's get to geeking, because that's the flip side of this equation. Joe, what you geeking on? What you loving?
Oh, back issue number 62. It is Superman in the Bronze Age. And this one got me because a lot of the comics they talk about in here, I bought on the newsstand or in the comic store.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's like Superman Family. It's funny because some of it they talk about, and of course, if I'd have known you were going to talk about continuity, I would have found it. But there was a couple of the editors where they would come in and they would say, hey, you know, this part over here and this part over there don't make sense. Write a story to put the two together. And that's how they operated back then at some of the DC stuff. You know, in other words, they tried to get everything to fit. This issue, I pick up back issues depending on what it covers. And this one, like I said, it just covered enough that I just found it was interesting. I mean, some of it covers like Neil Adams when he started the new Superman, Jack Kirby taking over Jimmy Olsen. And it covers just the different attitudes and the different artists and the writers and the editors that guided Superman through the 70s and into the 80s. And like I said, a lot of these books I bought myself, and they cover a good article on Kurt Swan. They cover what happened in Superman Family, which I do have all of them now, so I can read them. And I picked them up when they were dollar format. And this even talks a bit about why they did the dollar format. And it goes on giving a story on the Atomic Skull, who was one of the few villains who could actually lay Superman low real quick, but they has a very, very few appearances in the Bronze Age. And they go to what Corey probably will remember as the first miniseries ever done, quite by accident. Do you remember what that was, Corey?
I know it was Superman related. Mm-hmm. It was it World of Krypton?
Give that man a, well, we'll give you a, no, Twinkies are too valuable. Give him a pie. Because yes, World of Krypton. It was done initially as a backup feature, because if you remember, a lot of the comics in the 80s had those backup features, you know, Private Life of Clark Kent, Mr. and Mrs. Superman, Whatever Happened To, and that was just a way they did to give you more value for the comic. Well, what would happen was, is as the implosion would happen or different series would start and stop, they would run out of, they had to published this stuff somewhere. World of Krypton ended up being published as just a 3-issue standalone. They didn't advertise it as a 3-issue standalone because back then they didn't do miniseries. They just barely started doing them on TV. And the idea that, oh, well, I'm going to buy this. It's only 3 issues long. Well, I'm not going to order it, and I probably won't let people buy it. But it sold very well, and it was followed up by Untold Tales of the Batman, and after that, Secrets of the Legion of Superheroes, and now you can't swing a previews around without hitting a miniseries. Most things tend to be miniseries. And sometimes you don't know it's a miniseries. They just might say it sucks bad enough. Hey, yeah, no, it was a miniseries to begin with.
Or it might just, it might not suck. It just might not sell.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it's funny because they'll get to, you know, they get to the end of like Transformers. This is number 85 of an 85 issue miniseries. So it was a birth of a format accidentally. If you like Superman, oh, they even cover the Superman mobile, the Supermobile. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a Supermobile. As to why it appeared, and also some of the Corgi toys that came along with it. And then they cover a little bit of the Superman of Earth 2, because if you remember, he got married long before Superman of Earth 1 did. And, of course, it winds up with the inevitable mention of Crisis. But this has got to be the first time I have picked up an issue of Back Issue and read the entire thing cover to cover. You know, usually I pick and choose the articles, same thing with Alter Ego, but it's just, it was just a lot of fun. And I had this with me when I was in DC and I just finished it up a couple nights ago. It was a good issue to pick up. And I feel I got my $8.95 out of it. The other thing I was geeking on is our good friend over at Dreamhaven, Craig Ketter.
A damn handsome man.
Damn handsome. He's open, I figured out, he's open Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually. And then, of course, he'll open up for special things. But I happen to see he was open up on this Saturday, and so I swung over just to say hi and to catch up what's going on. He's doing fine. We're just talking about the stuff he has because he's got a lot of stuff on sale, trying to get rid of it, trying to clear out what he has. He says, but he keeps buying collections because he keeps finding these wonderful Golden and Silver Age collections. He just can't let go. So if you're looking for Golden Age, Silver Age books, probably a good idea to drop Greg a line. I didn't buy much because, like I said, with my project going on, I don't want to buy things I already have. But I did pick up, he happened to have a signing going on. It was a 79-year-old man named Joseph West. He's a local creator, does poetry, prose, artwork, and he was there signing and autographing his own book called Aim High. Joseph West, he's done covers and interior pages of a lot of small press magazines, and this is one of the first times they've actually collected it all. And he was actually going to do a reading and some other things while there, but I wasn't able to hang around, get a kick out of my name being Joe as well. So I always feel good about buying this. I mean, I don't buy poetry a lot, but if I can buy it from somebody there signing, a local artist actually, or writer doing something, you know, I'll give them my $20 for that. I don't mind doing that. I like supporting the local guys. Those are the two things I was geeking on this week. Notice I didn't mention I read all the comics that came out, but I didn't geek on those that much.
No.
I enjoyed them. I just, they weren't worthy of geekiness. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, the first one of mine is TV related. Two of my favorite shows who have been on hiatus for a little while are coming back. Doctor Who comes back on Easter Saturday.
Woohoo!
And Mad Men comes out on April 6th.
Oh, I thought you'd have mentioned Walking Dead on February 10th.
Well, they knew that that was just a two-month break. But these have been longer breaks. Doctor Who, when they said they were going to split the season, which they've been doing a lot lately, and I don't like it because they're only like 12, 13 episode seasons.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, here's six episodes. Oh, here's six more. But Mad Men does 13 episode seasons, and the gap between season four and season five was almost 2 years.
Oof.
So I was really expecting the gap between five and six to be just as long. But nope, they finished their season up and last year and started the new one up less than a year later. So hopefully that means that season six and seven will be, you know, coming together very soon. But if you haven't seen Mad Men, get on Netflix, get it on, get it, the DVDs go on sale at Target every so often for $10. You can buy them online. It's an amazingly well done show. And I use the word amazingly a lot, which I've learned from listening to editing this. But Mad Men is one of those shows that it builds over time. The longer you watch, the more you know about the characters and the more the world tends to grow, so that you, little things, you become, you see how important they are. If you've never watched Mad Men, it's about an advertising agency. Starts in the early 60s, I think, 62. The lead character, Don Draper, is a man with a secret, and you do not find out the secret till the end of the first episode. And they wrap up his secret. Normally in shows like that, it's, okay, he's got a secret, you find out about it, and then the rest of the series is the consequences of that. They actually wrap that up in the third season and go on from there to other things. Beautifully constructed. You have the first episode introduces you in such a way that you become hooked. I think I picked them up at Target when they were $9.99 around Thanksgiving 1 year, and they just sat around for a year or two because it's, you know, I hear this is good, but I don't have time. When I started doing overnights, I brought in the first season, and I made it through all four seasons that were out on DVD in a month because I just got hooked and got to see the next one. So very excited about that. Very excited about Doctor Who. The new companion's interesting. Also, Sci-Fi Channel has been showing old Doctor Who. No, not Sci-Fi. BBC America has been showing some of the old Doctor Who on Saturday nights, gearing up for the 50th anniversary. Comic-wise, I don't want to be repeating myself, but new issue of Daredevil came out and was awesome! Wraps up the storyline of Foggy and Matt Murdock being at odds with each other over just issues that have built over the entire run of Daredevil from the 60s. There's a great sequence where Matt Murdock explains why he kept his secret identity from Foggy for so long. And it's one of the things I like about Mark Waid. He understands the characters. He can give you things like that, and it doesn't feel like an info dump. It's just really good character interaction and dialogue. The other Mark Waid book, Indestructible Hulk number 3. Remember when they first announced Hulk's going to be Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And you went, oh, God, that's stupid. It works. Basically, S.H.I.E.L.D. is using the Hulk as a cannon. Okay, we've got a problem here. We're going to drop the Hulk in and have him solve the problem by smashing it. But it's also really good dialogue, really good character stuff. And they're building Bruce Banner a lot like in the movie. Remember that scene where Bruce Banner and Tony Stark just start talking science?
Mm-hmm.
Mark Waid is building on that for Indestructible Hulk. And I don't want to give much away, but he really builds on the fact that Bruce Banner is a brilliant scientist. The other book that I like, that first issue, go to your comic shop and pick up the first issue of Star Wars, written by Brian Wood. Brian Wood has done some really great comics, local. He did DMZ over at DC. He does the comic The Massive, the comic Demo. They're letting him do Star Wars, and it's set right after Episode 4, A New Hope, which those of us who were old enough to see it when it came out, it's Star Wars.
As long as hand shot first.
It's set right after that, in that gap between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. And I like it because I've kind of drifted away from the extended universe of Star Wars. And the same with Star Trek, and I finally understood why a few years ago. Because they've built their own universe. Especially in Star Wars. It's okay, well, Luke and Leia, they have kids, they do this, they do that. We had a moon drop on Chewbacca in one of the novels. And it's gone out to where it's characters that were never in the movies and I could not possibly give less of a shit about. This takes it back to, okay, this is during the time of the movies. We're using the characters you care about, situations you care about. The rebels have, their base has been discovered. They have to go find a new one. Han Solo got his money. He's thought of as a hero, but he's still really kind of a smuggler and a pirate. Vader is now fallen out of favor with the Emperor because, well, the Death Star cost a lot of money.
Do you know how much that thing is? What the hell is an aluminum falcon? Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, if you're a Star Wars fan of any kind, pick up that first issue. One of the things Brian Wood is really good with is he doesn't have the characters talk about their emotion. They show them. There's one scene that just was... Have you read it, Joe?
No, I haven't.
Spoiler warning, but...
Go for it.
Leia is with the others looking with Luke and Biggs looking for a new base and they get attacked by TIE fighters. Leia in the middle of a dogfight, both her and the person doing the TIE fighter crash. She gets out of her ship to go over to that ship and the guy is alive, but just kind of barely, and she shoots him and then she empties her blaster into him. So without telling you, she was really traumatized by her home planet being destroyed and the Senate being dissolved. And now her whole life is in ruins. And she's just filled with rage toward the Empire. And I like that. I like it when you show rather than tell.
I am so angry. Isn't that lovely?
So those are the things I'm geeking on. I also... I'm reading a couple of essentials. Reading Essential Thor number 6. These are Thor stories I've never read. It's the Gary Conway, Len Wein stories. Stan Lee had left, but John Buscema stayed on because John Buscema liked drawing Thor because Thor wasn't a superhero book as much. And I'd never read these stories. So it's like a whole new Bronze Age series that I knew nothing about. And I'm up to the introduction of Fire Lord, who is a character I wish would have been the Herald of Galactus much longer than he was. And the other one, I'm almost done with the Essential Warlock. I'll kind of be sad when I'm done, because I know I'm toward the end, and after this, Jim Starlin went away.
You got better.
But these stories are so cool. So there you go. That's what I'm geeking on.
Cool.
Let's see. We've done Tales from the Shop. We've done Geeking and Freaking. We've done this. We've done that. You've kind of hinted at how big the big project is. So we might as well talk about the big news that came out this week. The monster news. The geek news that even my middle sister, who knows nothing about the geek world, knows.
Uh-oh.
Joe, did you hear who's directing the next Star Wars movie?
Some Avenger guy, wasn't he?
J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. Oh, Star Trek boy.
Yep, he's the one who revitalized Star Trek.
Crossover!
Mission Impossible. He's the guy in charge of Mission Impossible now because he did, Mission Impossible 3? Was it 3? Whatever the latest Mission Impossible was, they've said he's in charge of that franchise. He was in charge of Lost, in charge of Fringe. So he's in charge of both Star Trek and Star Wars.
Crossover.
And all I have to say is I am so glad they got a really strong director for Star Trek VII. Because I'm also glad it means Lucas will not be directing the movie, and Lucas has become a terrible director. So, Joe, if you got to choose what they would do with Star Wars 7, what would you want from that movie? Where do you want it to go?
That's a good question. But what I've been geeking on is just a reset, because they never really said how Anakin's mom got pregnant. Well, I would basically just have it. Somebody ends up going back in time and just reset everything. You know, so I don't know if that would necessarily...
I just want him to do what they did on Star Trek.
Right. So nothing... The first three never happened. You know, you don't want to necessarily negate Star Wars, but... You know, or, you know, if you can't do that... Because, you know, you could start with the current group now and just something happens where they end up going back into the past and changing things. Or do just go back even farther to the, what do they call way back when there was more than two Sith?
The Sith Wars.
Yeah. Just
because I played those games.
Because I thought that it was thousands of years in the past before episode one. I think
it was like about 5,000 years ago is when they've set the Knights of the Old Republic.
That's it, Knights of the Old Republic. I would go with that.
And Sith Wars and all that.
You know? I mean, that's one of the things about the Clone Wars that I don't really get into that much, because despite whatever happens, we already know how he's going to end up. And it just seems artificial. It'd be more fun in the Clone Wars, or maybe just take it, go forward and say, you know what? Things aren't going to change. Things change somehow. You know, somehow when the Emperor announces his, tries to get the Order 66, it doesn't go off the way he thinks. The clones don't obey. Why? What happened? You know, and go forward from there, you know. But I don't know. It's, you'd like to see a new group. Could they recast everybody?
Well, one rumor I've heard is that everyone, you know, all the major players, even Harrison Ford, has said they're willing to come back. So what I'd like to see for 7, 8, and 9 would be, okay, it's 30 years after the Emperor was killed. And yes, you know, the big celebration, but there's been kind of this constant war ever since. Luke is trying to bring the Jedi back, and the Jedi are building up in strength. But the Empire, there's still vestiges of the Empire that are out there causing trouble. And maybe a new Sith Lord appears, and he's the one who's helping the Empire stay around. Mm-hmm. Now, the one book series that, if you're a Star Wars fan, you really need to go are the first three books by Timothy Zahn. I think they call them the Thrawn Trilogy. And I'm not going to spoil anything about it, because there are so many moments where you just go, oh, wow! I think those should stay in continuity, and all the rest of the books should be ignored. I want Chewbacca in these movies. Mm-hmm. Yes, maybe Luke and Han, not Luke and Han. Yo, Luke and Han got married. Yeah, there you
sure,
go.
Sure, why not?
Han Solo and Leia get married. They have kids. Luke found someone, hopefully not a computer program, and they have had kids. And that's where the story continues. You use the old characters to introduce the new characters.
Mm-hmm.
To set up, okay, here's the situation and where we are now. But for the love of God, don't have it be like episode one where it's about economics and a trade war.
Hmm.
It just, forget all that silly crap. It's one of the reasons I like the Clone Wars is there's none of this, oh, it's over a trade war and there are trade disputes. And no, it's these are the bad guys, these are the good guys, and they fight. The thing about Star Wars was it was very simple black and white stuff. And yes, Vader ended up being a tweener. But in those first two movies, he was just a badass bad guy. I want my bad guys in Star Wars movies to be badass bad guys. I don't want them to be fighting over trade rights between Gungans and who else? So, Star Wars is one of the things, as all this information starts to leak out, you know what I'm going to do, Joe? I'm going to avoid it all.
That's what I did with Star Trek.
I want to just sit down and have it wash over me. It's what I'm doing with Star Trek, too. I don't want to know who the bad guy is before I sit down and watch it. That should be another geeking. Are you reading the Star Trek ongoing comic?
No.
They did a two-part mirror universe from the new continuity.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I'll just give you this one of the cool moments from that two-parter. Okay, you know how in the new Star Trek, Spock comes back in time? And everything's been changed because Nemo came back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember in the Theory of Infinite Universes, Spock comes back in time, ends up in the mirror universe.
Hmm.
And they react a little differently to him. So the Star Trek ongoing, skip those first six issues and go from there and you'll really enjoy it. Well, we've been talking to each other for almost 2.5 hours, Joe.
Yeah. And we only
got only an hour and 10 minutes of it got recorded.
Yeah. That's just the way it goes around here.
So you're not going to be available next week, are you?
No.
You're going to be watching your DVD of Royal Rumble.
Or maybe I might go nuts in a couple hours just buy Royal Rumble. I haven't decided yet.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you've wasted an hour and a half of your life listening to us blather on about funny books.
I don't believe it.
Well, we've been blathering on for 2.5 hours.
True.
Do you believe that?
Might be. My drink's gone.
Do you believe in Bigfoot?
I've seen some Bigfoot. Holy moly. You wouldn't believe the things we got a screen at the airport.
Well, one of my coworkers believes in Bigfoot.
He must be reading the current Bionic Man comic book.
He actually got a little annoyed with me when he was watching Chasing Bigfoot or whatever that show is on one of those channels that used to be a documentary science channel is now is reality shows and bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, the problem with this is if they ever catch Bigfoot, the show's over, so they're never going to catch him. And he got irritated with me and went into... You know, we didn't know about the gorilla until the 1800s, and we find new species every day, and there might still be a Bigfoot. And it's one of those times when you smile and nod and go back to reading your book. So, as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
Somebody, I gotta dance now. Somebody hit my music.
Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, yo. Funk is on a roll. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.